You're tuned to the Lehigh Valley Art Salon on WDIY Allentown. My name is Ken Michael. My guest this evening on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, the photographer, Larry Fink, who has a new exhibition of his work at a brand new gallery, the Santa Banyan Fine Arts, in the Arts Quest building. It's at 25 West 3rd Street and Suite 93. And the show is called Work in Process, The Family. I think that's a building you've been building on most of your life. I was thinking about this, and whether it was, you know, like your early work at Social Graces, where you were showing one side of society and another side, or whether it was when you did that work documenting the grape workers, or just about any other. It's a family of work that you're actually concerned with, that you're looking for, that you're looking at. No?
Well, yes, actually. There's something in me that admires people who work with their heart and with their hands. And Dennis is a roofer in this family that we're speaking about on the walls at the gallery. And Stacia is a nurse. And both of them are highly skilled. And besides being skilled in their labor, they're also skilled as parents. And so even though I've been part of the Cognoscenti and the Elegant group for many, many years, there's something in me that wants to always go back home, way back home, to where the primary impulse is work and dignity through the labor of one's hands.
But also in the comfort of a family situation. It seems like all of your subjects, whether, you know, whether it was something that you were looking at with a very loving eye, or sometimes a slightly, you know, checking them out kind of eye, what really comes out is your love of families, of love of groups, loves of groups of people and their dynamics and how they move.
The commonality of love, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's interesting because my family, for all, not necessarily my wife and I, but nor my daughter and grandson now, and Orlando, her husband, but my family was extremely dysfunctional, and we don't have a long, long line of cousins and elephants and gorillas and all kinds of stuff to go back into our hereditary essence, but it's, I feel, in certain ways, envious or beautifully aligned with people who have that kind of sense of continuity, sense of commitment, and sense of the everyday. It's my romance. The commonplace is my romance.
Is that part of what you're looking for when you're searching these things out, when you're, you know, beginning to suss out a scene and lay it out in your mind?
Unlike a lot of photographers who are working today, and I've been working for a long time, 58 years or so, but unlike a lot of people who are working today who come to the subject matter with intellectual nuances and new prospects of exploration, I come to it from a very emotional and intuitive place. I would say actually a physical place. And when I meet someone or a group of people who in a way kindles my heart or kindles my visual or emotional desires, it's that which stimulates me to make the pictures that I do. Yeah.
Does it make it easier to not have to intellectualize it and figure out, oh, I'm going to do this and that and that, to just like open up that heart and swing with it and see what starts to happen? That you don't over-academicize it, you just kind of...
I wouldn't be very adroit at the other way, let's put it that way, even though my mind is a fairly complex instrument and knows how to become part of the academy. I've been a college professor for 45 years and know how to talk that talk and walk that walk, but it's not my walk. It's in a way, when I enter that world, as adept as I can be within it, it's more of a masquerade. I just as soon talk with ordinary people in ordinary terms. talk chainsaw.
I love, I was just over there today looking at the pieces, and I'm not even sure what I'm looking at in the one of them. It's this beautiful fluid. It almost looks like water, but I'm pretty sure it's feathers. Is that the stock of geese's? Is there, there's one that's, at least to my mind, semi-abstract.
Well, you know, it's
lines
an interesting
and
picture.
It's
a big one, right?
Yeah.
And it's about they had been slaughtering chickens and geese that afternoon, and it's a picture, which is a picture of a picture which was created by the children. Which is to say that they took the heads of the geese and the eggs of the geese and put them together in a very, very mathematically programmatic way, a beautiful way. The heads, of course, were severed and full of blood parts, and the eggs were dirty because they came from, where do they come from? When I went to it and, in my own peculiar way, you know, created another level of its poetic mathematics and abstracted it. But it is one part, the upper left-hand part, which looks like a roiling sea of white caps. You know,
yeah, it's a beautiful abstract.
Yeah.
So you had art directors working with you on that, with the young kids.
The family are my art directors.
Yeah? Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Actually, I heard that. I read something about you're talking about the opening night, that they were really, really jazzed by what you had seen with your eyes of their, well, of it, their place,
I
of
mean,
their it, thing.
They're really, really wonderful people, and they're open people. They learn, and they continue to learn. And this experience was a learning experience. A, they had this bozo coming over to the house, and they were perfectly comfortable with me. And B, at the show, they, you know, were comforted by and exalted within their own celebrity. And not celebrity in that high fly fame, let's, you know, see if I can capitalize on it, or be vain or narcissistic or what have you, but just the celebrity of being honored in a way that the photographs can do, which made their common experience, if you will, into a symbolic one and one to emulate. I actually wrote this on Facebook that I'm quoting myself, pardon me, and that's what you were quoting also. But they had a ball. And the kids were just enthralled with it. And the kids were very self-assertive and not at all spoiled children. And two young women have, I think it's 10 and 11, something like 9 and some kind of age like that, about ready to enter adolescence, the liquid years. But they just had a real ball. And then Denny was talking to me about why we have to have the next slaughter in 6 inches of snow, so that we could have the white as a palette against all of the organic carnage for nutrients in existence. Yeah,
you opened a door for him. You opened a different door that maybe he had never even known was there.
Perhaps so, but as they have for me.
Yeah,
I mean, they allowed me entry into their family, into their lives in ways which were just comfortable and common and extraordinary. And if indeed I return the, I don't call it a favor, but return the relationship and move it into a public place on a certain level, I can't be more pleased from doing that. Yeah, with doing that. Yeah,
it always shows. It, and going way back, God, I actually in thinking about this, preparing for this, I was looking back at Social Graces and just thinking about the contrast, but thinking about my one of my favorites was, you know, the birthday shot, yeah, where he's got his hands out and just the.
Well, you know, the pictures that are on the wall at the gallery today are rather different in many, many ways from the Social Graces.
Hmm.
Similar subject matter, but not quite so, because in the Sabatine family, the family in point in Social Graces, there's a tremendous amount of anguish and hostility and belligerence, and real antagonism within the family itself. Not so in this family.
Mm.
It's conflict. Hey, life is conflict and can be, you know, uncomfortable at times. But there's real deep discipline and no sense of indulgence and nothing is left unattended. And so when 100 years ago when I did Social Graces, my life was equally as full of angst and anger and did a lot of that. So the subject matter was akin to my own contradictions. And now, being an older guy, and not quite ancient nor antique, but certainly, I don't know if mellow is the word that would pertain to me, but certainly, you know, mellowed down. This family, besides their singular humanity, signifies something which I want to speak about, which is patience and forbearance and love.
Do you think your state, what you're looking for, kind of helps you navigate towards what you want to look for and document? Since you're, you know, saying that, you know, at different times in your, I'm sure when you were doing the Studio 54 type scenes, you were kind of in that kind of a thing doing that too. That whatever state you're at, whenever you're at that state, kind of eases you into looking for these kinds of things, like this wonderful family and the photos you made from it?
Absolutely. I mean, the thing is that I've done photojournalism all throughout my life and believe in it to a point, but I'm not a photojournalist. And I'm basically, when I'm not working, and work is very, very low right now because magazines have folded up and younger people came along, et cetera, et cetera. But so in a way, I'm a little hungry to work hard because even though I'm at retirement age, I have no such plans or even inclinations. But I'd rather not working for the media at all, you know, gives me a sense of new freedom, which I had when I was doing Social Graces, by the way, because I was not at that time I was working on with some Guggenheim fellowships, NEAs, and I had, you know, a certain amount of money, not a lot, but enough to take care of business, and I just went and photographed in a very organic way. So when I returned to my resource, I just worked towards the organic. What feels right is what I want to see and what I want to communicate. When I was working with media and such like that, people would get me out of bed in the morning and tell me to go photograph an underpants factory or a war zone or a hip-hop, you know, hound dog place. And I would do it because I'm deeply curious about all things. And I would interject my own personality into it, obviously. But still, I had concerns about the client, the media, the people I was, you know, working towards, etc. In this case, no. This is open-faced in the deepest dimension, and really, thankfully, so.
Does it make you, is it freeing for you? Does it make it easier to then look for these things now that you have those?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, I'm in a state of grace.
But not social grace. My guest is Larry Fink. I'm Ken Michael. And this is Lehigh Valley Art Salon. He's a professional photographer of 45 plus years. He's had one-man shows at the Museum of Modern Art, the Whitney Museum of Modern Art, San Francisco Museum, museums in Belgium, in Switzerland. He shows in galleries regularly in New York, Los Angeles, Paris, along with two Solomon Guggenheim Fellowships in the 70s and a National Endowment for the Arts Individual Photography Fellowships in the 70s and 80s. And he has a new show up at Santa Banyan Fine Arts. It's at 25 West 3rd Street, Suite 93 in the Arts Quest building. The show is called Work in Process, The Family. We'll be back in just a minute.
For program support on WDIY, we thank the Allentown Symphony Association, presenting the National Theater and the live broadcast to Miller Symphony Hall of Barrymore, played by Christopher Plummer. Set in 1942, William Luce's Barrymore follows the American actor John Barrymore as he reflects on his career during the rehearsal for a revival of his 1920 Broadway triumph, Richard III, January 10th at 7 p.m. For information, millersymphonyhall.org.
And we're back. This is WDIY Allentown 88.1 FM and HD, listener-supported community public radio. My name is Ken Michael. This is Lehigh Valley Art Salon, and my guest today is the photographer Larry Fink, who has a new exhibition in the Santa Banyan Fine Arts Gallery. And that's quite a happening last Friday night with the folks all around the gallery there. A new space, and I guess, though you weren't the inaugural, it's part of a new direction there with putting fine art photography in the gallery. And
I think Santa's been in working in the photography trade as a dealer for about 3 years. And she had, before this gallery, which just opened, she had a smaller one upstairs in the Art Quest, in the Banana Factory building.
Oh.
And now she's expanded it, and it's really...
It's a beautiful space.
Fabulous space, really. It's the old gift shop of the Banana Factory. I guess there was no longer any gifts to sell, so she took over the gift.
Well, I was just amazed coming into it because, yeah, that space is kind of for people to go to the Banana Factory. You know the spot. You go in there, and you, instead of making a left to go into the big gallery, there was a gift shop there, and I personally didn't know it was as huge as it was. The new space is beautiful. It's beautifully laid out, and it's kind of got little nooks and crannies to help you explore the art.
Great lighting.
And very beautiful lighting.
Really lighting.
How long ago did you decide to make these photographs for this? This was something, I guess this is pretty recent work, no?
Yeah, it was work basically which was done over the summer and into the fall. And the relationship I had with the family has just thickened up. Stacia actually was my nurse, or a nurse, but my nurse went in one of my vacation tours at the Lehigh Valley Hospital with some silly disease or another that you get when you get older or whatever. And she was fabulous, just fabulous. She was really pithy and honest and, you know, full of jazz. And, you know, we stayed in touch. And we never really visited until this last summer when, for whatever reason, it all opened up and then the walls tumbled down. Jehovah came calling.
And you went out there? And
I went to the family.
Yeah.
And actually, my wife, Martha, went and bought some organic chickens and so on and so forth for our kitchen. And of course, the family also has a small, not quite organic, because you have to be certified for that, but organic kind of farm. And they raise chickens and geese and so on, and then produce and Christmas trees and, you know, the kind of small industry which is fortunately coming to take a good presence in the capitalist society rather than centralized farming, which, of course, will poison you while it, you know, fats their girding loins.
Again, it seems like it was part of what drew you to them was their love of what they do, and you know, and I guess that's really, no matter where you're going, whatever you're looking for, whether it's sitting in on an interesting jazz set, you know, checking out something that's going on, or you know, seeing people working on their farm, is that the thing that hits you first, looking around, seeing that, you know, the love, the respect for what they do that they have for themselves, is that part of the spark that first catches your eye?
I can't interject love into something which doesn't have love. That would be a fabrication of a blasphemous order.
And you can't make something unless you love it, unless you're working on it.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's put it this way. I'm a man of vast experience, and I have evil in me, too. It's not quite as pronounced as it used to be. Thank God. And so I understand evil as well as love, but I'm not attracted to it, you know. And once upon a time in my life, I was more attracted to it because it was more part of my center. But now, not so. I've sort of farmed it out, put it out to pasture. Evil is grazing.
It's out in the way lower 40.
Yeah. Whereas love is, you know, much more enhanced in my later life.
You grow in it more and more.
Yeah, and that's much thanks to my unbelievable wife, Martha, who trained me to be loved a loved person and a lover of life in a deeper way. You know.
Well, and she did a good job too. More good works out there being worked on. Well, I have just a few minutes left. What do you hope for people that are coming in there and checking out this new show? What do you have an ideal idea in your mind of what you hope to get from it, or just to experience it?
We've been talking about the human event and the love and so on like that. There's also an event within each photograph, which is very, very formal. And the way that you put a frame together in order to articulate what it is that your central concerns are. The sensuality that you enhance the print with, you know, the volumes and the sculpture of the prints, which are made, by the way, by Mary Rodemeyer and Emma Honig, who are my assistants, and they can't be congratulated more. But what I want people to come away from this, what seems to be common experience, is a mysterious sense of sensual rapture. That they've experienced something which is, in a sense, its own time echo. A picture informs itself and creates a mystery. And that mystery, in this case, is built out of a common experience, the common experience of children and slaughter, in this case, not necessarily the slaughter from heinous people and evil deeds, but the slaughter for food. I want the common to become uncommon and extraordinary. And I want the people to come away from the show with a sense that they've entered into a world which might resemble their own and which does not supersede their own, but reminds them that life indeed is a miracle and a majesty.
Very good. Thanks. Larry Fink, my guest here on Lehigh Valley Art Salon. His new show, Work in Process, The Family, is in Santa Banyan's Fine Art Gallery in the Arts Quest Banana Factory, and there will be a reception and an artist talk on February 1st. You're tuned to WDIY Allentown, Lehigh Valley Community Public Radio.